Welcome to, what is this, a rebranded episode, a rebranding of Art Talks.
Yep.
That's what it is. Welcome to a new episode of Art Talks with your host, DHS, the Art Boy, and
Tess Falati, Red Alchemist, is it me?
All right, so we just gonna jump right into it, bro, because it's kind of one of those topics that been on my mind, and a few things happened to me why I decided that I wanted to talk about it. And, you know, I will definitely try to keep main people and names out of it, you know, but still a lot of these people I still do have a lot of respect for, because some of them don't even, they, and that's, you know what, let's get into it, because you're going to realize why, right? So basically, my question, or number one question is, can your ambition, or like your display of passion, prevent certain opportunities? You know, and background, I've been in situations where, you know, I'm a passionate person. If you ever talk to me about the things that I do, then you'll probably realize that in like the first 20 seconds. You know, I'm very passionate, love what I do for sure, and could talk about it forever, which is basically what Art Talks is.
Yeah.
So, background. I've been in spaces or been in situations where I feel like because I'm passionate and because I'm so like determined and hardworking, you know, it could possibly sabotage, you know, certain opportunities for me. And I wouldn't say it's a terrible thing. I would just say it's, you know, me trying to learn and navigate space and time, right? For certain things. Why, when you say certain things, when you do certain things. Because, you know, people are secure. Some people are insecure, I mean, with their job, right? And what could possibly come of it if you come around and you're young and you showing that you pay more attention and you showing that you possibly, you know, could benefit, you know, whatever company more, you know, or all of that. Like, that's what is the possibility is. It, like, yo, they could sabotage that, you know, that link. They could disrupt that connection, or, you know, just plain out prevent you from gaining certain opportunities.
Yeah, because, and you bring up a perfect word. You say, you know, intimidated. You know, or, you know, some people within themselves, you know, sometimes the problem is not even with you. You know, sometimes they are having a personal problem with themselves. You know what I mean? Meaning, you know, whether they have their own insecurity or their own fears or, you know, their own lack of ambition.
Yeah.
Or would it be a case of just, you know, misery? You know, they're just miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, and it's almost like this, you know. Sometimes you have a lot of people who don't want something until they see somebody is with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they might have it for however long.
Exactly.
And then wasn't appreciating it. And then you come around and you show much more appreciation, right? And then it becomes, well, you know, this is not yours, by the way. This is mine, you know? And so that sort of uncomfortable feeling might lead them to, you know, make those decisions or, you know, slight you in a sense, you know, from gaining access, getting certain opportunities, you know. And by no means, you know, I hope you understand what I'm saying. By no means I'm saying that, oh, you know, in this situation, I was the greatest at what I'm doing and all of that. No, you know, that would just be ignorant. It was just, I was somebody, one of my friends, enlightened me on, you know, how my transition from, per se, college to the working world panned out, right? Versus comparatively with other people that's been in the same field, you know, from the same institution. Yeah. These people are getting, you know, certain opportunities versus me, you know? And I think essentially what happened is he opened my mind up to a more not so blatant aspect of, you know, something that I label systematic oppression.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, yo, it's this idea of, no, I'm not saying these people are racist because I don't know if they're racist, right? No, I'm not saying that, oh, you know, it's all about skin and skin color. But what I'm saying is systematically, you know, this whatever they do works, don't work in your favor, right? Because, you know, you don't fit that profile that they usually work with or is, you know, for, you know. So it's like systematically, you know, it exposes, you know, people biases and preferences, right? And, you know, when he opened my eye up to that, I was thinking like, man, you know, that's kind of crazy because you don't want to, you know, say somebody is, you know, racist or something like that without actually knowing, right? And you, some cases you might not even know. So this idea of what is systematic, you know, whether it's systematic oppression or, you know.
Yeah, and like, you have a lot of people too who, as you say, they have a certain type of bias. It doesn't necessarily have to be race. You know, it could also be, you know, a certain type of cultural bias, or it could be, you know, country bias, you know, where in a sense that they wouldn't like to see a Jamaican in that specific spot, or a Haitian in that specific spot, or a Spanish person in that specific spot, or wherever you come from, is like, you don't deserve that type of growth. And what happened to is, that's when sometimes you start to realize who really support you and who don't. You know, who your friends are, who aren't. Like, they're very, very, very comfortable with you and being around you, laughing with you, joking with you, when you do mediocrity. Yeah. When you settle, when you chill out, when you just want to do the regular stuff. But as soon as you decide that, you know, it's time for me to grow, it's time for me to apply for a higher position, or it's time for me to do something else, you know, that sometimes necessarily has nothing directly to do with them, but it kind of make them feel like, yo, you know, this person is about to do better than me, or they are doing better than me, and it show them off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of show a type, it show you how they think personal, like they're okay with, you know, some people okay. And I'm giving an example. You'd have a person who is okay with hiring a landscaping company owned by a white man but has Mexican workers.
Yeah.
Rather than hiring a landscaping company that is owned by a Mexican.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the same, you know, it's the same type of people doing the work.
Yeah.
They just don't, they want to see a specific type of ownership or a specific type of person in that top spot where, you know, they consider you to be ambitious. If you're an entrepreneur, they consider you to be ambitious, if whatever the case may be. So, like, the bias and the prejudice and, you know, labeling and this whole idea of, I think, these type of person deserve this and that type of person deserve that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't even have to do with them specifically. It's just, you know, just chew it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've also, like, been in situations where your ambition or my ambition could threaten, you know, the status quo. So, like, one of the things that I realized is, all right, so, for example, applying for jobs, right? Yeah. And, you know, anyone could challenge me on this. When you apply for a job and you walk into that job space and you sit and you interview, you know, a lot of these companies have their format. They have their status quo. They have their template, right? Yeah. A lot of these companies aren't looking for someone to come in and make changes and, you know, elevate or anything like that. Because a lot of them actually truly believe that, yo, whatever I have right now, that's working. Leave it alone. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, you know. Yeah. But what happens when that is their, you know, format? You know, that is how they approach hiring, right? But you are ambitious in the sense that, you know, when you come around, you want to see change. You want to see better. You will find the things that are, you know, not necessarily perfect and try to make it even better, you know, because you yourself might not make it perfect, yeah. Right? So I see situations where once you start to make someone feel, or once you threaten that status quo or make them feel uncomfortable in terms of change or something like that, they'll prevent you from, you know, venturing off into, you know, that space with them or with the company or anything like that. And so, you know, I guess for me, it's less shocking, but more like, damn, I had to open my eyes and realize that, yo, dude, like, there is times where you might be, you know, be a little too passionate, you know, or a little too ambitious, you know. And once people start to feel like, yo, nah, this person look like they could come and be my competition, then some people is so insecure and so comfortable in their job that they won't let that happen at all. They, by any means, they won't let that happen. You know, so, I mean, at the end of, you know, all of this talk, I want to eventually or ultimately, you know, talk about or share what does a young, ambitious, hardworking, you know, artist, entrepreneur, like, you know, what do you tell those people that are graduating from college and want to go take on the world and is innovative and is, you know, keeping their ear to the street? You know, what do you tell those people?
I personally think that there's no such thing as too ambitious, you know. It's just a matter of knowing when to pursue what.
Mm.
You know, it's just a situation of finding the right time to strike.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Jay-Z always knew that he wanted to start his own record label.
Yeah.
Jay-Z always knew that he wanted to have his own music platform. Right? Jay-Z always knew some of the things that he's doing now. He always knew that he wanted to do that. He didn't even say it out loud sometimes.
Yeah.
What Jay-Z did was, Jay-Z was a multi-millionaire when he became the CEO of Def Jam.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He never had to take a job, a desk job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He never had to be an executive. He never had to be a CEO. But he purposely took that job so that he could understand the in and outs and the specifics and the running of how a record label work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then him keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never too hype, I'm never too say, I'm gonna do this or do that, or you know, show off or whatever the case may be, or even his bosses at that time, the owners of that record label at the time, he never made it seem ever that he was going to turn out to be their competition.
Yeah.
Because if he did, at the time when he had no power, then they would have stopped him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe they would have blackballed him at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but what Jay-Z did was he had his sights set on what he wanted. He has his ambitions, and he chose specifically what times to execute whatever it is to achieve that plan. Mm. So my thing is, for people, like, keep your ambition. You know, keep that drive, keep your goals, especially the high goals. You see me? Keep your ambition, keep all of that. You know what I mean? But it's very important to, as they would say, read the room. You know again, know who to tell what.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, so that was my final point, is like,
you know,
yeah, this idea of knowing who to tell your goals and all of that is really you know, critical, because not everybody wants to see you win. And then you have people that wants to see you win, and the, you know, the old saying, they want to see you win, but they don't want to see you win more than that.
Exactly.
Right? So, to me, you know, I guess it's how I was raised and all of that. Like, bro, I have a ton of friends that is out in the field, that's doing their thing, that's, you know, getting recognized, getting, you know, well acclimated with society and the job world, and really moving up, you know. And personally, bro, I'm super happy for them, you know. Yeah. And I'm gonna cheer them on every single time. I don't care if they're 100 steps ahead of me, you know. I'm gonna cheer them on every single time, because one of the things that I also believe is that if you have a group of 5 people, you know, and 3-4 of them is progressing, you know, almost, you know, hitting their goals and stuff, the chances are it could go 2 ways, but the type of person I am, I'm going to be more motivated to want to reach my goal, you know, and I'm going to cheer them on. Meanwhile, I'm doing my thing, because you can cheer on your friends while they're getting their thing done, right? And still pursue your thing, right? And still not be jealous, right? So, I mean, it's this.
And then that's it too, you know, like, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad telling certain people your goals and your dreams, because you then get to realize who is with you and who is not with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before you get there, you get to realize who is with you and who is not with you. When you tell them the dreams and the goals early, and you kind of see the doubters, or not even the doubters, but you can feel the energy. You know what I mean? And that's with close friends, though. But, you know, say a corporate setting or another setting where you have somebody else, though, who has the power to stop your dream or to stop your goal or to stop your elevation.
Yeah.
You don't want to reveal too much.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to say anything. There's a really thin line between speaking too much and speaking into existence.
So I'm glad you said that, because I think that's where my struggle truly is, right? Like, sure, I've been past the point of when I say, yo, I'm going to make sure that this happens, right? People are like, well, either you're just being, you know, you're being, like, people like to say, oh, you're a show-off. But it's like, yo, personally, right, when Kanye say he's going to give Jordan a run for his money, I didn't think he was showing off. Yeah. I didn't think he was flexing either. And I didn't think he was ignorant, because they say it all the time. If your dream is not big enough where people is laughing at you, and literally the world laugh at this guy, you know, every step of the way, they laugh at him. He compare himself to Walt Disney and all of these people, and they laugh at him in his face. Oh, hell no. This exactly. guy, who does this guy think he is?
Exactly.
But it's like, yo, it's so, his dream was so big, so ridiculous, that, you know, it's like, yo, in my head, it's like, but this guy is a hard freaking worker, though. Yeah. Like, he puts in work. So, I like, in this case, it's like, yo, most people would think there's a, like, 75 to 90% chance that none of this that he's saying will come to fruition. Because when people look at Walt Disney, they look at Nike, they look at Adidas, they look at, you know, all these people in these positions, they're thinking, who is this, especially in America? You know, they look at you like, who do you think you are, right? So that's one set of chips that's stacked against you. Yeah. Then, you know, your race, right? They look at your race and your background and say, yo, you definitely ain't reaching where you think you're going to reach, right? Because they also look at it as, these places are not meant for people like you. You yeah. should be a worker. You should be working for me, yeah. right? And so, you know, I was one of the, maybe the, you know, 25 to 10% people that was like, yo, you know what? I believe him. And I believe in him.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, again, you know, to me personally, Kanye says what he means.
Yeah.
If not all the time. Which sometimes turns out to be his Achilles heel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, again, it's important to know, you know, when to say what, who to say it to. And then balance, you know, how you say it. Because how you say it can make it seem yeah. arrogant.
It's true, true, you know true, 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 true.
How you
true,
say it can true. Make
how
it,
you present the information.
Yeah, how you present it can make
everything.
It seem like he's boastful or hype or he's overconfident.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
He's... blah, 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 whatever the case may be. Well, you have some people now who understand that concept and say, all right, they're just speaking it into existence.
Mm.
And again, example. So I really love to give real life examples. Right? Usain Bolt. When I was training with Usain Bolt, I remember when he was 15 years old, we were on the World Youth Team. And at 15 years old, 6 a.m. morning training at stadium, I'll never forget the day, we were doing 200 repeats, and he said, I am going to break Michael Johnson's 200 meter record.
Yeah.
Straight, like,
yeah.
Mega broke Michael Johnson's 200 meter record.
Yeah, no.
You know, this nonchalant, yeah. yo, mega broke Michael Johnson. And at that time, Bolt couldn't even beat me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm looking at him like, bro. No, I'm going to Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
And not because I didn't think he's not talented enough.
Yeah.
But because at the time, everybody had it in your head, or still have it to some this day, that Michael Johnson was on drugs.
Yeah.
And you're thinking that no person...
I mean,
person,
they think the same of Bolt now.
Yeah, you're thinking no person off drugs could be somebody on drugs.
Yeah.
And that was my thought process, while he had no limitation at all.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking to myself... yeah, man, maybe me myself too can break Michael Johnson's 200 meter record, you know. But I always had a but.
He didn't have a but. He just knew that, yo, for the rest of his life,
yes,
the rest of his life, he's gonna work toward that.
And then the thing is, I understood that though. A couple of the other athletes understood that because we're athletes, and that's how athletes think.
Mm.
You know, most athletes think like that. We think. We have to be the greatest at whatever we're doing. If
yeah.
Bolt was supposed to set out around some ordinary people, everybody would look at him like, bro, you're too hype. You need to shut up. You need to sit down. You talk too much.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of people say that about him. No. Bolt
yeah.
hype. Him hype. Him not hype. Him just know what he want and him say what he want. Sometimes it might
and
come
he's
out,
confident.
Come
and I think, you know what, too? What's
yeah.
interesting is that people, a lot of people actually mistake confidence for, you know, arrogance. A lot. yes, there are people that are blatantly arrogant, but here's how I scale it, right? I always look at it as, all right, if someone has a track record of going after their goal, of being determined, of working hard, all of that, right? And they say, yo, all right, next year I'm trying to make $1 million, right? Dude, don't doubt that person and don't think that they're arrogant. They're not arrogant. You know, that's talking into existence. And yes, there's a thin line between being overconfident, you know, and just and arrogance versus, you know, just being plain out confident, you know. Yeah. And the thing is, in order to check whether or not somebody is really being arrogant, all you have to do is check their track record. That's one, right? And check your insecurity level. Yeah. Because if it's a case where, one, their track record will back it up, like, nah, this person is determined, right? Yeah. But also you have to check yourself, because a lot of the times we think that because we can't do it, they can't do it. You know, it's like, yo, bro, I can't even do that. So at the time, right, with you and Bolt, you think, not that you think you can't do it, right? But you're thinking, I'm faster than you, dude. How you gonna do that? I'm faster than you at the moment.
It's not even that. It was more like, you're still not even developed yet to see where you're going to be.
Yeah, but 15. Foresight.
You know what I mean?
Foresight is a hell of a thing.
That was the thought process for me. Like, it's not like you're 21 now, 22, and you're already sub 19. You realize, oh shit, I'm a candidate. He's still at that point. The man was still running, you know, 21s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, bro, you need to. But I still understood, because at that time I was thinking, I'm going to break the 100 meter world record.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to break, I don't care. Mega brother, 100 meter world record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you understand it depending on who, again, who you're around, who you're saying it to, how you say it, you know, when you say it. And then again, we'll go back to Jay-Z. I'm sure that Jay-Z's talk about these things that he's about to do all the time. He just doesn't talk about it in public.
Yeah. He probably tell his wife.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing, you know.
So he chooses his audience.
Yeah.
You know, and then he says it in his songs after he accomplishes it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So that's how Jay-Z do his thing.
Yeah.
So him keep him dreams and aspirations close to him chest.
Yeah.
And the people around him.
Yeah.
And then after him achieve it, him is like, yo, just buy 6 islands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, too, you also have to realize what part of reading the room is reading, you know, where everybody stand in that dream of yours.
Yeah.
Right? Or in that reality of yours versus, basically, right?
Yeah.
Because I've been in a room where, you know, I'm like, these are all filmmakers and all that, right? And for example, I'll give you a very vivid example. When I met Jada Pinkett Smith, right? You know, I told her, and I learned all about their production company, her and Will production company, Overbrook Entertainment. You know, I met a couple of people from there. You know, and I said, you know, one day I'll work here, or one day. The words were along the lines of, one day I'll work here or work for this production company, meaning I'll make something for them. You know, and sure, it didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, the type of person I am, dude, like, I do know that one day in the film industry or something, somewhere along the lines, I'll get to work with these people. You know, it's not me being arrogant. It's not being ignorant. It's just foresight. It's like, sometimes you walk into a room and you could tell, you know, or sometimes you meet someone and you could tell based on your spirit that, yo, there might be some sort of long-term link, you know, or connection that might ultimately result in, you know, you and that person either working together, collaborating, you know, all of that. You know, when we first met, you know, and we had our first conversations, right? We could have told, I could have told that, yo, damn, like, this person is like untapped talent, you know?
Yeah.
And then I feel like I also had untapped talent, right? The type of people or person that I was looking for to make content for and create for or create with was exactly what you, you know, were doing, you know? Yeah. And so I was just like, oh man, you know, I gotta stay connected with this person, you know? And I already said, like, listen, dude, we're gonna make projects and all of that yeah. together. And now we're like in the middle of a project, you know, which I can't wait to come out. But it's you know, it's also knowing the people around you and knowing who is clapping for you and cheering you on or who fits in that puzzle, you know, to make you get to that yeah. point. Because it's like, yo, it's like going into a room full of your haters and saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to be the next big thing, you know, versus going into a room full of music execs and saying, yo, I'm going to be the next big thing. Because yeah. music exec is looking at you different than your haters, right? Your music exec is looking at you like, okay, I see some raw talent here.
Let's see what you know, that.
How can we yeah. make him into the next biggest thing? Especially because the moment you reach in that room, the chances are they already thinking, all right, this guy have some potential.
Yeah.
Because no exec is meeting with you without no damn potential. They have to see something that they're like, let me hear him out.
Yeah.
Let me see, you know, because yeah. those people don't take meetings on impulse, you know. So it's like reading the room, like you said. So that's my final points, right? That's my advice for people. Read the room. That you're that's yeah. one, right?
Know when to say what.
Yeah.
Who to say it to.
Yes.
You know, and how to say it.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
You know, especially if, you know, you really don't want to try and offend people who have the ability to help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to rub them the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, like, again, I personally... And again, there's also a very, 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 I think we can save this for another topic, but there's a very, very thin line between ambition and greed.
Yeah.
Extremely thin line between ambition and greed, you know, and that is, you know, that's a line yeah. that you have to tiptoe on. You don't want to cross it too much, knowing when to stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So then my final words... you know, continuation of my final words then too is don't lose hope in your ambitions. That's one.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the flip side of it. Like, sure, bro, everybody could try to prevent you from being ambitious and all of that. But at the end of the day, it still depends on you to reach where you need to reach, right? And if you are ambitious enough, you'll figure out how to bypass these people or these obstacles. Like anything else in your life and reach that point, right? So don't lose hope. Don't lose your ambition. Still work hard. Still put in the groundwork. You know, still pay your homage. Still pay your dues. And I would say last but not least for sure, continue to have foresight.
Yeah.
You know, because I think people underrate foresight. It's like, yo, don't like... Being able to know yourself, you know, and also being able to project, you know, into the future and saying, you know what, this one day, this is my ultimate goal, you know, and you have to be able to see that. But I'll take your advice too, along with that, and say, don't share it with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, some things about your dreams, your ambitions, your foresight should be kept to yourself, you know, because... it's like everything else. Not everybody gonna see it. Not everybody gonna see at the end, right? And not everybody will be around for it.
Yeah.
You know, and some people know that they won't be around for it or won't be able to manage being around for it, so they'll try to prevent you. So if you keep it to yourself, you know, or if you have somebody that you truly trust, you know, a partner or whatever, then that's solid, you know. Yeah. And I would just say, yeah, that's it for this episode. You know, so that's our first rebranding episode of Art Talks. Thank you for joining us. Definitely stay tuned. We have a lot more topics and different things, that, you know, we want to talk about. I just want to, like, you have any updates or announcement or anything like that that you want to share?
Yeah, man. Check out the Friday series. Every Friday, drop a spoken word on the Instagram page, Tesfa_Lati. Actually, I'm about to shoot one today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, we're about to drop a music video soon, they said.
Oh, man. You should have revealed that one. You got to keep that foresight before. You can't, you know, you should have revealed that one. But, yeah, so, you know, we definitely going to work on that.
Yeah.
But for me personally, what do I have going on? You know, I do the producing for the Friday series, so that's good. Make sure you check out his page, Tesfa_Lati. Tesfa_Lati. I definitely, okay, so, oh, this shirt, you know, made some hoodies, promised people I would drop those hoodies, and I couldn't find hoodies with quality that is cheap enough to resell at a reasonable price so people don't feel like they get beaten over their head. So I decided to do t-shirts. So slide in my DMs if you want a t-shirt. I have the black version. I have the white version. It's the same old shit hoodie. Like I said, black version, white version. I have all the sizes except extra small at this point. But they're unisex size. They're dope. You know, and I would say they're just a summer, cool summer tee. You know, wear to a festival or whatever. That's what I have coming up immediately.
Yeah, man. And again, one other thing, book. Been working on this book for a while. But definitely going to drop before or either maybe on my birthday. You know. Not sure yet. In the brightness and darkness of love. You know, talking.
When's your birthday?
November 9th.
Oh. Your birthday is in November?
Yeah. Won't drop it before that, but the latest would be by that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That book would be talking about love from, again, brightness, darkness of love.
Different
angles. All different types of love. You know, relationship mostly, but all different types of love. So you can look out for that book. Also, and then, anybody knows somebody who wants to write songs for them, hit me up.
Yeah. Poetry, yeah, you're about to be music, in these credits, man. You're really about to be in these credits.
So anybody, you know, need a songwriter, any type of songs.
Yeah,
you know, any type of songs, dancehall, hip hop, reggae, souls, pop, anything, you know, even Spanish. Anything at all, so just hit me up.
Alright, I mean, we have a lot of different things coming up, so that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna be casting soon for a project we both working on.
Yeah.
You know, I won't give too much detail. You know, I'll just stick with the shirts that's coming soon. Same old shit shirt. And you know, with other episodes, other podcasts, you'll hear about other things that's coming up. But thank you for joining us today. That was a good talk. You know, and we'll see you on the next episode, right?
Yeah. You didn't want to introduce the next episode or what the next episode ever be? Or just leave it?
No, I'm not going to introduce the next episode. Because the way how we have these talks, they're pretty random at random time, anywhere. And it'd be about the most random stuff, right? But stuff with substance. So I can't introduce the next topic. But it will be good, right? So, yeah. You know, Art Talks with DAJS, the Art Boy, and
Tesfa_Lati, Word Alchemist.
And we out.